What's the future of Apple without Steve Jobs?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The news last night that Apple's CEO Steve Jobs is resigning wasn't completely unexpected. Jobs is a pancreatic cancer survivor, and he had a liver transplant back in 2009. But the resignation is still probably the biggest thing to shake the tech world since, I don't know, the iPad? For more on this, let's bring in Marketplace Silicon Valley correspondent Steve Henn. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Steve, let's first talk about the legacy of Steve Jobs.
You know, Jeremy, there may not be enough time to cover it. You know, this is one of the handful of people who helped bring computers into all of our homes. And more recently, he put, you know, really powerful computers in our pockets with the iPhone. But, you know, he was also the executive producer of Toy Story. So his legacy is enormous. But it's important to remember he's not gone. He's still the chairman of Apple. So who's to say his legacy is complete?
Well, what does this mean then for the future of Apple?
Well, most people I've talked to said immediately not a whole lot. Tim Cook was named the permanent CEO of Apple. He had that role for the last 8 months as the acting CEO. And he has been at Apple for a long time. He revamped their supply chain, is known as an incredibly efficient hard worker, sort of the guy around the company who makes the trains run on time. So how the markets react is obviously a big question. I asked Molly Wood, executive editor at CNET, about Cook.
He is definitely someone that Wall Street is familiar with, that shareholders feel comfortable with. He's a guy who's more than capable of kind of carrying out Steve Jobs' vision in the near future.
That seems like a pretty key phrase, in the near future.
It is. I mean, you know, Tim Cook is not the kind of person you think of necessarily when you think of the next great Apple visionary.
So a guy that makes the trains run on time, but not necessarily the next great Apple visionary, that sounds like a problem to me, Steve.
Maybe, but it's important to remember Steve Jobs didn't create every product Apple ever made by himself in his garage. You know, for years when Jobs was asked about his greatest or most underappreciated contributions as an executive, he'd say some variation of the same thing, which was that his most important role was to find the best people in the world at what he was trying to do, convince them to come work with him, and then convince them to stay and do the best work of their lives. You know, today, Apple has lots of visionaries working there. I think Cook's biggest challenge may be convincing them all to stay and then making tough calls about which visions of the future to bet on.
Marketplace's Steve Henn in Silicon Valley. Thank you so much, Steve.
Sure thing.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in overseas trading this morning, up about 1.5% in Tokyo, about 0.5% in Frankfurt. But here is something that is dropping big time, the price of gold. It fell 2.5% yesterday. It's currently selling for $1,729 an ounce. On Wall Street yesterday, another shiny day for stocks. The Dow jumped 143 points to close at 11,320.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Tomorrow, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will speak at a conference in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And a lot of economists think he just might announce some new Fed policy to boost lending and spending. Maybe something like the $600 billion bond buying program called Quantitative Easing 2 that the Fed just recently wrapped up. If Bernanke does make an announcement like that, it means he's more worried about deflation than inflation. Let's bring in Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell to explain. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first, Chris, remind us what deflation is and why we're so concerned about it.
Inflation. That's what we're used to. Inflation is a rise in the overall price level. Deflation is a decline in the overall price level. Now, we've had a couple of brief episodes in recent history, but the real episode of deflation in our economy was the Great Depression, and that's why we worry about it.
Not really something we want to be comparing ourselves to right now.
No.
Well, Chris, I mean, are we really at risk of deflation again in 2011?
You know, if you look at the consumer price index, it's rising at a 3.6% annual rate. What's the problem, right? Prices are going up. We're still seeing inflation, but our economy is slowing down. Europe is slowing down. And if you look at the forward market-based indicators about inflation, they're telling us that the inflation rate is going to come down. So I think part of the debate that's going on here, Jeremy, is there's sort of the apocalypse soon crowd that keeps saying inflation, inflation, inflation. But what inflation? And then there's another crowd, and I think this is the Bernanke Fed, or at least Dr. Bernanke, is concerned that the U.S. economy will become like Japan. It's sort of entering into a period of a deflationary sludge, 2 decades of slow growth, not a lot of job creation, and an ineffective monetary policy in dealing with deflation.
And is monetary policy what you use to deal with deflation, or is it something that requires some help from the fiscal side as well, from Congress?
Well, under normal conditions, you would do, Ben Bernanke used to be called Helicopter Ben because he was asked this question famously. And he said, look, if we have worry about deflation, we'll take helicopters and we'll just spread money all over the economy and that ends it. Now, that's in a normal environment. Well, that's not what's happening right now. Monetary policy right now is the only lever that we have. It can help. But boy, the best thing that could happen is to get the economy growing, to have an activist fiscal policy. And under those circumstances, guess what, Jeremy? We start worrying about inflation.
Ah, simpler concerns. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
And finally, the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. has found an earthquake victim from Tuesday's 5.8 shaker. It was a piece of glass, which was originally recovered from the control tower at the Seattle-Tacoma Airport after a 6.8 magnitude quake there back in 2001. And most of the control tower's glass shattered during that quake, but not this little piece, which has been on display at the Air and Space Museum ever since, well, at least until Tuesday. Apparently, one quake was enough. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There's pressure in higher ed to save money and make classes more efficient. One thought, make teachers more productive. But how?
I have no idea. I think I'm pretty productive, but I'm not sure that I would come out well on a quantifiable scale.
I'm Bob Moon, running college like a business. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
A lot of people spend a lot of money on things like skincare, fast fashion, and even surgery, all in the name of self-improvement. But as the price of perfection rises, when is it time to call it quits? I'm Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable, a podcast from Marketplace. This season, we dig deep into the financial trappings of self-care and the real motivations behind our spending choices. Listen to This Is Uncomfortable wherever you get your podcasts.